Hello, and welcome back to my listeners who are tuning back in, and hello to some of my new listeners. My name is Aubrey Ebony, and this is the Model Counselor Podcast. We are on episode 4, and I'm really excited about this particular episode because I want to address some things that are heavily present in the industry, especially for newer models. I'm excited to have one of my good friends on the podcast today. Unfortunately, she cannot join me in person, so I have to again do a phone podcast meeting, but I'm fine with that if you guys are fine with that. Today is April 20th of 2019, and I am ready to rock and roll. So today's podcast is about John Casablancas, Barbizon, 99 Talent. We have One Source Talent in the Midwest. What are these agencies, and what do they do? And I think that that is something that I'm really excited to address while, you know, on the podcast today. I know my friend Tierra, who I will have on the podcast, kind of discussing some of the topics I'm going to talk about, has actually worked for Barbizon. And that is why I'm extremely happy to have her here, because she knows more than I do about what their goals are, you know, what they wanted to accomplish, essentially what their purpose is for models and actors or actresses or whomever. And so that is what I'm really looking forward to. I myself have attended both a John Casablancas and 99 Talent open call or casting or audition, or, you know, however they title it. Sorry about that. Let me go ahead and mute that. I was actually invited to a John Casablancas audition last year in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm not really sure how they got my number. I actually just received a text message saying that, you know, we would love to have you come in, you know, you would meet with such and such at this particular time. I said, you know what, you know, I was new to Atlanta. I didn't mind, you know, actually kind of just creating new networks. So I figured, why not go? And I'll talk more about that experience after I have Tierra on the podcast and give her time to speak, because it's important, and I'd rather have someone who has worked for a company similar to John Casablancas than for me to dive in and give my opinion. I'd rather kind of have a good conversation about that. In addition to being invited to a John Casablancas open call or audition or casting or whatever they call it, I was also invited to a 99 Talent open call or audition, and I'm not sure how they got my email or phone number or, you know, whatever the case was, but, you know, similar experiences to how John Casablanca runs their particular casting. But with that being said, we're on episode 4, April 20th of 2019, and let's rock and roll. Gonna go ahead and give Tierra a call now. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to the artist Quote and DJ Tev for the dope track you hear playing in the background from time to time. Hello. Well, you are live on podcast right now. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So previously, before you got on the phone, I was just kind of giving a brief introduction about you and kind of what you do and, you know, a little bit about that. But I would much rather you dive into kind of who you are, and then we'll get started. So who is Tierra Bree?
Well, the name Tierra Bree the model came when I was in, like, seventh grade, when my girlfriend just started calling me that, because she was like, okay, I'm like a model. I was like, well, that's who we're going to be now. And so they called me that walking around school. So that's how that name kind of came about. And then when I was younger, I was a tomboy, and my mom didn't like my etiquette. Mm. So she looked for an etiquette school that just happened to teach modeling and acting. Mm. And I kind of got into it that way. But aside from that, do lots of things. I'm in modeling and acting, but I've also done broadcast journalism. So I talk quite a bit, and lots of things. Depends on what you want to talk about.
Okay, cool. Wait, so I just want to take a step back. So your mom took you or enrolled you in etiquette school, or tell me about that.
So yeah, so she was looking for just an etiquette school because I was like the type of kid who would, you know, roughhouse with a guy, and burp in people's faces and things.
Okay.
And she didn't like that I was gravitating toward male-oriented activity when we were children. And I didn't have too many girlfriends back then, So she was just like, oh, we need to get you some etiquette classes so you learn some manners, stop roughhousing with the boys, yada, yada. And then she fell upon Sessions Modeling School. So Sessions was the very first modeling school I went to, and it basically had etiquette and manners classes, taught you table etiquette, you know, how to speak properly, like a lady, all that good stuff. And then on top of that, I had the modeling marketing. So she really liked those, got me into those when I was younger.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's something I never knew about you. Well, I think you're paid out pretty well, paid off pretty well, because you're pretty mannerable, I think, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. And so now at where you are now in your life, you know, you're still doing modeling and diving into acting, or, you know, kind of what are your main goals?
So I feel like I've not exhausted the modeling world, but I've got to a point where I'm content with just doing freelance, because I'm not signed or anything, with modeling. But now I want to move on to acting, so most of my goals are oriented around that. So I want to become super-duper-duper-duper successful in acting. I want to be a household name in that. It's not just, you know, a model or Instagram model, as people say these days. So most of my goals are just to be successful in acting, able to support myself, like just full-time.
Okay. Your phone cut out just a little bit at the end, but I think we got a gist of it. So, you know, it sounds like you're more focused on diving into acting and becoming a name in the acting and television and film realm. Is that true?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And I think you're great. I mean, I've seen, you know, what you can do. I've worked with you, you know, one-on-one on a couple of acting things, and I think you're great. And so, you know, again, like I tell everybody, whatever I can do to support, or if I ever know of something, you know, I definitely send it your way. But I think you could do it. You know, I always think about Taraji, because she, for some reason, this quote or speech she said, like, you know, she moved out to L.A. with, like, no money and her child. And, you know, it took some time, but it finally took off. I think about Samuel L. Jackson and how, you know, he didn't land his major role until later on in life. And so, you know, just going down this journey is quite challenging, because you never know when, you know, when you're going to hit something. You never know. And I guess, you know, it's trial and error. But as long as you keep going at it and don't give up, like, you never know when you'll hit it big. And I think you're good. So I think you'll definitely hit it at some point.
Thank you so much. And you use two prime examples. I look at them as well. So most people are like, oh, like, you know, I'm 26. They're like, you're 26. You're just now starting. Like, this is your first year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yes. I had no idea this was going to be my path. I've always, like, dabbled in acting. Like I said, I had the classes when I was little. And then when I was in high school and college, I was taking drama, theater, things like that. But I didn't realize that's what I wanted to do with my life until I was about 24. So, okay. Yes, I'm new to it, but I don't feel like I'm on a wrong path or the wrong timeline. I'm on my own timeline. And just seeing some of the greats and people who are super-duper successful, you know, that started late, it just inspires me even more to not stop.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I think that, you know, we hear that, oh, you're just starting now, because we were in the modeling or are in the modeling world. And there's a quote unquote aging out, you know, phase where after a certain age, you just are looked at as too old, which is insane. But, you know, the acting world, you can kind of dive into it whenever you want. So, you know, you can start whenever you want to start, because there's no true, like, age to where you should begin. It's your journey. You start when you want to start, and, you know, so.
And then, like, I just think about Morgan Freeman. I'm like, he's been old since he started. So, like, I feel like I have a long career ahead of me. And there's a lot of old, successful actresses that have just, like, they've been doing it for 50 years. Or they're just starting, and they're already 75. So, I feel like there's no timeline for that. There's nothing holding me back from that. So, definitely going to dive in full force and not stop.
Yeah. No, go girl, go girl. All right. Well, I wanted to talk about kind of one of the main topics that I really wanted to get to is, you know, the talent agencies or talent scouts, or I don't even know exactly what to call them, talent schools, modeling schools, like like John Casablanca's, like Barbizon, like 99 Talent out in Atlanta, the particular branch that I know about. But you previously worked for Barbizon, correct?
I did a lot with Barbizon, like, through my life. Okay. So, you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead and tell the story.
Okay, so, after those Sessions classes, I was 9 when I went to those. After those, I realized, you know, hey, I'm kind of good at this modeling thing. My mom was like, oh, your pictures are great. Like, you should get into this full-fledged. You're taller than everyone. So I kind of stuck with it. So she found what was called Barbizon Modeling and Acting. It didn't say agency or anything, so it was just Barbizon Modeling and Acting. And then it changed to Barbizon Modeling and Talent. So it's just like, okay, it never really said agency, but she knew it was a place to go and get classes or training so I could get into this world. And we really just had no information about it and didn't know how to do it too much. So that was like my first dive into, you know, acting and modeling. So I started at Barbizon. I was 13. I did the classes, and going through the classes, I definitely feel like it was a confidence booster. It was, it taught you self-esteem. You learn how to walk. You do learn how to pose and, like, different, like, tricks and trades, techniques, things like that. But, you know, times are changing and things are, you know, they get outdated. But back then, it was relevant for the time. And it definitely helped me build my confidence to go and take pictures with, you know, photographers out of town or go and audition for some runways and things like that.
Okay.
Overall, the classes were a success. They're very expensive classes, especially when it's for young girls who don't have too much money, so their mom has to pay for it.
Okay.
So that's what my mom did. And, you know, a couple years later, I graduated after the year, and then I started doing mall promotions for them. So it paid, like, you know, $10 or $12 an hour, which was, like, big money for a child.
Mm-hmm.
So it was paying you those hourly rates, and you'd work in a mall promotion scouting more girls to come to Barbizon. And then after that, I was probably around, like, 20, and my mom was just like, you know, I was looking for a job after college and stuff. She was like, why don't you look to work for Barbizon? Like, you've done that before, you liked it, all that good stuff. So I looked it up, and it was casting basically for teachers to come back and teach the classes. And my teacher, I kept in contact with all these years, her name is Asha, she's amazing. She was just like, oh, no, I'll definitely give you recommendations, and you seem amazing for this. So I applied, I got the job with Barbizon, and I started teaching for them. So the teaching, I was one of the youngest teachers, and I started teaching probably like a month and a half after. She was like, I really like you. I want you to be a director, so we're going to train you up to that. And it was super-duper quick transition, super-duper quick training, but they felt I had to choose. Apparently I did. So I finished out my school year with the first school I was teaching at, and then went to director's training. And after that, I got the job. So I started out with one school as a director, and basically they fly you out to, you know, whatever city they're having a new school in, and you're the one who oversees the talent, the money collection, the process of the classes, the structure of the classes, make sure your teachers and staff are there, all that good stuff, and basically do the recap at the end of the weekend. I did that amazingly, and then I got three more schools. So I was totaling at four schools at one time directing, and then got to the Passport of Discovery, which is like their big, you know, hoorah at the end of the year, which is where they go and all the girls from all over the country come, and that's like their big thing to go ahead and get modeling agencies, talent scouts, all that good stuff to start working in the industry. So I was there working for that, and after that trip, that's when my time with Barbizon came to an end. It was after about a year, and then I transitioned out of that company. Do you want me to go into those details or leave it at that?
As much as you want to, I would love to understand, you know, why you transitioned out. I actually have a couple of questions, but I'll let you finish. So yeah, go ahead and finish.
So my transition out was not as positive as the working. So the working, it seemed like, you know, I was making money, so I was able to pay my mom back to class. It was good. I was happy. It was just like a full circle. So, but I, in my employer, look for, you know, someone who cares about my safety. And I felt like at the end of that trip, once we got back, there was Hurricane Matthew was coming to Jacksonville, which is where I was living at the time. And our crew docked back in Tampa, like at the school. So they were like, oh, we're not going to get you a hotel tonight. Drive back to Jacksonville today. You should be there before the hurricane. I was like, I believe it was like August 8th or something. I just remember that date for some reason. It might not be, but anywho, it was the 8th. The hurricane was supposed to hit on the 8th. I'm like, why do y'all think it's going to be safe for me to drive 4 hours to get home?
Back and forth.
They really wouldn't get the hotel. I was like, well, I feel like, you know, you all are trying to save this $100 or whatever the hotel costs, and it's in my contract to get me a hotel. Why won't y'all just get me a hotel for my safety, not because I don't want to drive? It was like, you know, just safety thing. And the lady who I was having the talk with, which happened to be the only director available to talk to, is the one that just didn't like me too much, I believe, because I was the youngest CS to go forward with that program. So she was just a little threatened. So having to have that conversation with her just didn't go well. And unfortunately, I had to quit right then and there. I got my own hotel because that was just escalating in a negative manner. And I got my own hotel, stayed in that night. Hurricane Matthew did it that day. And I was like, I would have died if I was
right.
to go home.
Right.
Y'all could have just got me a hotel, which is in my contract. So it was just a negative transition out. But, you know, while I was there, I was liking the money. But there's some things about the process I don't like that we could talk about a little bit.
Okay, so you said there's some things about the process you didn't like.
Yeah, but what questions you got?
Okay, so, sorry, I was just writing something down. So you said that Barbizon was good for their time. What do you mean? Because I think what you're saying is like, you know, now with social media, you have access to a variety of ways to learn different things. Or are you saying like, you know, back... You know, a couple years back, they were actually legitimate for what they were supposed to be doing. What do you mean by they were good for their time?
I mean both of the things you just said. So more so the latter. I mean they were good for what they were supposed to be back then. Like, I guess it was early 2000s. Modeling wasn't as prevalent to, like, the world. Most people didn't know about it. You know, if you're in the fashion industry, yeah, you did. But besides that, you just saw models in magazines or on catwalks on TV, things like that. So, yeah, we didn't have social media. So... going to a school to learn how to pose or to learn how to walk a catwalk or to learn your angles, things that you can learn now from Instagram or YouTube or, like, you know, going to a physical class, learning from friends, those things weren't available too much back then.
Okay.
So I feel like the classes don't really change too much with the times either.
Okay.
So that was probably, what, 2 years that I was, 2 years ago I was working for the company, and 2 years ago we had social media still. We had, you know, means of finding information for modeling and acting.
Right.
And I don't feel like they updated their curriculum from, like, the early 2000s to, you know, 2015, 16.
Okay.
And I was just like, why are y'all teaching them to pose like this? This is clearly not what you see in any magazine today.
Okay.
Or why are you telling them this is the way you start on a runway when there's a variety of ways to start on a runway? It just seemed like they didn't really upgrade their curriculum to match current standard.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think that that has anything to do with, it sounds like you were the youngest teacher, so do, like, with everyone else being older, do you think that that may be why, you know, they kind of stuck in this particular way of doing things because everyone there was older, or, you know, am I wrong to say that?
I think that, yes, but it's also just kind of like a naivety or like people are just not ignorant in a bad way, but they're just unknowing to what they're getting into. Or what it takes to get into the modeling world. And when you Google, you know, modeling classes, Barbizon, John Casablanca, those things are tied, they're the things that pop up first. So they don't really have too much competition in the means of classes. So they're just like, oh, yeah, this is the standard. And people take them at face value because they pop up first or because they've been around for so long. And the fact that they've been around for so long, clearly they're doing something right. It's just when girls go into the classes, I've noticed when I was teaching, they thought, you know, I'll do these classes, then they're going to find me. Like, I'm a signed model now. I'll start getting jobs. I'll start booking things. They'll send me out to casting. And that's really not what Barbizon does.
Okay.
They have the ability to, and they do have the connections. And I've seen them. I've seen some of the models go. But it's literally, when you go to that Passport to Discovery, the thing I was talking about that was my transition to quit. There's probably, like, 10 models out of the 20,000 girls that are on the boat that go that actually get, you know, to the next level. So those other 19,980, they're just kind of like, well, that was a great $5,000 spent for myself, $3,000 for my mom, $2,000 for classes, and I'm, you know, working model promotions now. So I just feel like it's a, they're more so a school to go on and do your own thing. So I freelanced after that, got my own agency. They didn't help me do any of that. So I don't feel like it was really beneficial for that purpose, but it was beneficial for my self-esteem, confidence, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's definitely good to know. So the pricing for the classes were pretty expensive. You're saying $3,000, $5,000, between that range.
It's like, well, just that one event, that one cruise thing, it was $5,000, which I guess is a steal for, you know, a 7-day cruise. I don't know. Doesn't seem like it, but
so five,
it's basically like $5,000 for the girl. She gets seen by agents from all over the world. But you know, like, you have experience in this. If you're not that one in a million type girl on a boat full of 20,000 people, they're not looking for the everyday girl. They're going to find, you know, their high fashion models, maybe 10 girls that are all that right height, size, measurement, and then someone who does a bomb behind commercial. Like, they do really good in acting. And those are the only people they're going to focus on. They're not going to focus on every single person on that boat.
Right.
So that's what I mean. Like, it's not for everyone. And then even with the classes, I felt so bad when I was directing. I had to turn away literally, like, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds because they didn't have, like, $40 towards their payment that day. Or their parents weren't there. They just dropped them off and didn't know they had to pay. Mm-hmm. They'd have to sit outside with me and just be crying next to me, waiting for their parents to come back, hopefully, or someone to come pick them up because they couldn't attend classes. I'm like, if you're really here to help the models or help them act or boost their self-esteem, this isn't the way to do it.
100%.
So, it could have had those private conversations. It would let the girl sit in class and participate. Like,
yeah,
they're paying $2,500 for these classes. They ain't got $40. I'm sure they'll get it for their next payment. Like,
right.
It just seemed like they were more focused on the money than the actual, you know, growing up the talent.
Yeah. No, that's really unfortunate, you know. You think that schools are geared towards educating and, you know, kind of a sense of togetherness, and it's very unfortunate that there are still kind of, you know, organizations out there that care more about the finances than, you know, the good that you can do. And it's sad, but, you know, I definitely thank you for sharing that. So being that you were the youngest, you know, model, and you had actually been through the classes before, were the other teachers that were, you know, older, had they been models before? Were they actors or actresses before? Or, you know, who are these people?
I don't
people?
Want to be rude, but no. Okay, so, like, with my class of teachers, when I got hired, there was, like, a class of 20 of us. They picked 6. Out of us 6, myself and one other girl, you know, because I'm 5'10", I'm not, you know, overweight or anything, but I'm not a size 2 or under, mm-hmm. but I'm relatively in shape. And then one other girl, she was probably like a size 2. Okay. Other than that, the other 4 were just kind of like, what do they do? Maybe they're actors. So I was like, okay, one had a really bomb personality. She does act, she dances, she sings. And I was like, okay, cool. So I get why she's hired. But then the other 3 just, you know, they seem like they just need a teacher. So I was like, all right, they hire anybody, they accept anybody, they have the money in the closet. Fishy, but okay. So when we get to the training with the directors, with the executives and all the big people in the corporation, one, I'm not going to say names, but you'll know her name when you go there. She's the one that used the model. She's like 5'10". She's still thin. She looks good. She's the one that's over everything, and she's good at her job, and she's really direct. She's the one who's the money, like, manager as well, but she's really direct and good at her job and does care about the students. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, it's like, where did you find these people? Like, did you ever act? Have you ever walked a catwalk? Right. Why are you teaching these posing classes? I was just very confused with some of the people that were, you know, running things. But I understand you need the back of house, you need the front of house, even the front of house. I'm like, when were you in the industry? And what part were you in? What capacity? So it just seemed kind of fishy all around.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like, you know, a professor teaching a philosophy class and having, you know, no philosophy experience, no prior education. I just think that that's literally insane, and that's not how classes should be ran, because classes should be taught by someone that has the experience, you know, in that particular.
I was about to say, just to, like, relate it to something that everyone can relate to, like, when you go get your hair done and your hairstylist's hair looks jacked up, you're like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or if you get your makeup done and she just has horrible skin or doesn't have makeup on, you're like, do you really do makeup?
Right.
You question it.
Yeah.
So going to a modeling and acting school, looking to see models or actors, you're just like, what the haystacks? Like, it was odd.
No, that's definitely odd. Well, that's unfortunate that we have a boat of 20,000 girls and, you know, only 20 of these 20,000 girls that paid this $5,000 to be seen in front of, you know, directors, you know, out of all that, only 20 get seen or, you know, kind of move on. And I don't want to use the term scam, but it definitely sounds like an unfair experience that, you know, the teachers or the people in charge kind of know, you know, going into it. Doesn't sound like it's something that they're, you know, unsure about it. It sounds like they know exactly kind of how this is structured and they're fine with going about it. And, you know, on one side, I see the desire to want to educate people on something they want to learn about. You know, sure, if you want to take a class, feel free to take a class. But it's another thing to kind of, you know, set false hope for people, you know, who think that these classes are going to help them become something, because it sounds like that's the dream that they're selling, especially when I hear it on the radio, you know, oh, do you want to model? Do you want to act? You know, Barbizon, you know, they'll help you. And it's like, what exactly are they helping me do? Are they helping me learn? But then who's teaching me? Am I really learning? Or, like, you know, kind of what's going on. And so that's a little unsettling, but, you know.
And it is sad. And, like, you mentioned two things that brought something else up. When you said scam, I know after I finished the classes and I wasn't getting these callbacks or wasn't getting castings and things like that, I was like, well, what's up with Barbizon? And at that time, I was probably around, like, 14, 15, so I kind of did the internet. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, let me Google it. I Googled Barbizon S, and scam came up. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So I was going to take Barbizon school. But anywho, Barbizon scam came up, millions of complaints, a horrible rating with the Better Business Bureau back in the day. I didn't look at it recently, so I'm not sure if it's changed or not. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, oh, yeah. So a lot of parents were complaining, well, my daughter paid this, never got one audition. Or my daughter went here, never got one, you know, this, that, or the other that they were promised. Mm-hmm. And there's so many messages like that. It just blew my mind. And I didn't want to work for them after I saw that because of that. Only mm-hmm. reason I did is because back in, like, I think it's 2015, when I looked them up again, it was a better rating. I think they were at, like, a B or something. So it brought up. There was less complaints, but still similar complaints. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking more so, I'm out of college, need a job, need the money, mm-hmm. and I know I can make a difference in these girls' lives. Yeah. I was one of the nicest, most bomb directors they had. So I felt like I could actually make a difference to teach them the right things because I was signed back then when I was doing that. So it was awesome. And then one other thing about the boat, with that passport to Discovery, there was literally 20,000 people on the boat, men and women. And the person that I saw actually from that event get on television was Peter. He was on the boat and he was just one of the chaperone's friends that happened to come on the cruise. And he was on The Bachelorette literally right after that because one of the casting directors was there. So there are people there for television, even though it's reality. He wasn't even there for the passport discovery. He didn't pay for the trip. It was free. He just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and then he was on The Bachelorette right after that. And I'm like, that's great for him. I was so happy to see him. I supported him, shouted him out, wanted him to win. But it's just unsettling because he didn't pay anything, and all these girls that are there for that, like, got nothing from it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a chaperone, so, like, all eight of my girls got zero from it. It's just, it's unsettling. It's bad.
Wow. You know, it's... I honestly don't have, I don't have words for it. I genuinely don't, you know, it's unfortunate. I wish people would just kind of be up, you know, upfront and clear about their intentions, exactly. You know, especially if people are going to invest thousands of dollars. People don't know. These teachers don't know if these people have the money or if they're, you know, investing this money, hoping that this takes their child and saves them from, you know, whatever debt or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, so to really.
Or working five jobs just to pay the payment.
Just to pay.
Running back on their mortgage because they don't have it. Didn't pay their car note to get to go in class that day. Like, it was a lot of stuff. And it was so bad that they wouldn't let them in class. I'm like, she's going to work right now to get some tips to come back and pay her child $40. Like, mm-hmm. it was horrible.
Wow.
And they're just selling them lies.
And so, you know, it sounds like that's something you wouldn't recommend. Or, you know, you mentioned some high points of it. Is it something you would recommend?
So, overall, if someone came to me and said, I want to be a model or I want to be an actress, should I go to Barbizon? My answer is no. If they say, why not? It's not selling you the right thing. So if you need training in, you know, how to publicly speak in a group or, you know, makeup lessons, just basic bare minimum type things that are just to get you kind of ready for that world because you've never been in it, sure, it'll work for you. But if you have, you know, the It Factor or some type of sense of style or some kind of knowledge of doing makeup or modeling or acting, it's not needed. It's a waste of money. If you're going to use that $2,500, you need to go invest in your portfolio or invest in yourself to get some, real training or to go to the model counselor and pay for something that's from a working model, someone who knows what's going on. Just anything else. It doesn't seem like it's a beneficial product for the price at this time of day and age.
Okay. And that's fair. I think that's super fair. You know, I don't think you said anything wrong. I mean, honestly, you can't be wrong. It's how you feel. And thank you for that. You know, the phone, when we reach back and listen to this podcast, the phone was a little staticky at the end of what you were saying. But I think it was really clear that, you know, you said that there, if you're a certain type of person, then this may be for you. But if you're looking to just kind of learn, if you're looking to get signed, if you're looking to, you know, understand the industry and all that stuff, then this may not be the best avenue or route for you.
Yes, exactly that.
Okay.
And also, I didn't go to John Casablanca. I thought they were different, and I did get, you know, scouted by them. And when I looked it up, it was the same as Barbizon, so I didn't go. But literally 2 days ago, I was at a training for a promotional job, and a girl told me she got accepted to an agency, and when we got accepted, and she was like, yeah, John Casablanca accepted me. And the word accepted just sounded weird, because, you know, most models say, oh, I got signed, or I got an offer or something.
Right.
She was just like, I got accepted. I'm like, just so you know, there's a school. I sat there with her, and we Googled it, and Google reviews. They have like a 1.9 rating.
Mm.
And I'm like, all right, so that'll tell you something. Feel free to look at these on your own. But she was cute. She had a petite frame. She could do commercials. She had a great smile, great attitude, personality. So I told her, in my honest opinion, I didn't recommend it. And she's new to Atlanta and just doesn't know where to start to find an agency. So I recommended you.
Aww.
And told her to contact you. And I was like, well, she's a fine model, fine corporate agency, traveled the world doing it. So she's probably a better avenue than John Casablanca, because
yeah,
she's working and knows where you can start rather than going to that to waste that money. And she was like, well, thanks so much, because like, me and my fiance just moved into a house. I really don't have it. So she appreciated my opinion. So.
Aww.
I just say, for anyone looking at that, do your research. Well, you could definitely be a good resource for some of them.
Yeah, you know, first of all, thank you for recommending me. I super, super appreciate that. But, you know, I went to a John Casablanca's casting or audition or whatever they call that particular gathering of people. And, you know, I didn't know it was going to be a gathering of people. I got a text message saying, which I don't know how they got my number, but I got a text message saying like, hey, Aubrey, you know, we'd love to meet with you. You know, we have some opportunity for you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I had just moved to Atlanta around this time. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'll do it. I'll check it out, see what it's about. Because you hear a lot about John Casablanca's, you know? And so I go and I realize it's like a cattle call, and there's like, you know, maybe 40, 50 of us. And then the children have parents, and then, you know, everybody gets signed in. And then after you get signed in, you go into this room and there's a speaker, this woman who talks a lot about the role she didn't get, and then mentions how no one wants to hear about your successes. They only want to hear about your failures. And I was like, I'm not sure if that's true. I would much rather know, you know, what you have booked. She talked a lot about older, you know, kind of movies like, I think it was Hustle and Flow or something like that, in which she almost got the role, but she didn't get the role. And I was the main source of her story. And then, you know, she talked about how she could sing hardcore, and then she started singing and it sounded like, you know, a Disney replica, you know, musical that wasn't well done. And then she proceeded to, you know, ask if girls could walk, and then we would walk. And then, you know, we just kind of hear different stories about her failures. And she showed us maybe 20, 30, you know, headshots. And this is where they're, you know, this is where they are now. You know, they were here before, but she doesn't talk about the in between time. You know, she doesn't say, oh, okay, like this person was here for 2 days, left us, you know, then went to do something bigger. And then that's how they got there. You know, they really tried to take.
Exactly. Yes.
They really tried to take credit for these people's successes without having any, you know, connection to their journey on getting to that success point. And
they're
then
good for that.
Yeah.
With
super good for that. In fact, one of the Sports Illustrated, the last Sports Illustrated cover model apparently went to one of these schools before, and they're taking credit for, you know, her success and saying, oh, she was here, but, you know, Barbizon or John Casablanca's or 99 Talent did not help this particular model get on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, at some point down her journey, she signed with an agency that probably was not through this, you know, talent school, and through hard work and being, you know, well at her craft, she then got, you know, to the position. And, you know, it's nothing that these talent schools or modeling schools can really do for you. That's something that happens for you if it's for you, or it doesn't. And, you know, the schools are really just like a false advertisement of, hey, we can get you here, when, you know, it's a struggle for even a great model to get there, you know, because it's all subjective. It's all about the client. You know, your agent can only do so much. Yeah, they can push you. But if Gap doesn't want to hire you, Gap doesn't have to hire you. That has nothing to do with a talent, you know, school. And I think that people often like misunderstand that. I think that these schools can really take them to the next level, and even being signed with an agency can't necessarily take you to the next level. It's really about you, opportunity, preparation, you know, it's a lot of different factors that go into it. So it's really unfortunate that these things are kind of still going on, but you know, I'm happy you educated her and told her to go Google, because you need to do your research. People need to do their research before they invest hundreds, thousands of dollars, before you pay $900 for some headshots from this particular, whatever the case may be, you know, definitely yeah. Doing your research is key. And so, you know, thank exactly. You know, Tierra, for telling her that, because I'm sure without you, she probably would have just went along with it and been stuck in a situation where she wasn't happy and not fully able to pay for, you know, whatever she had gotten involved in. So.
Definitely so.
Well, you know, that's how this industry is. I think that everybody's kind of like, how can they take advantage of somebody who doesn't know any better? That's pretty much how I look at it. And I wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way. But I want to move on to something a little different, because we've harped on this. And unless you have anything else to say about the Barbizon, the John Casablancas, anything else to say about that?
No, that was it. Just do your research.
Yeah. No, that's super key, because, you know, a lot of people kind of get trapped in these different organizations or schools. But doing your research, listeners, you know, when you tune in and you're listening to this, definitely do your research. Google, ask questions. Don't just, you know, see the hype and believe it. Everything that glitters is not gold. And, you know, that definitely is true when it comes down to the modeling industry. So, But, you know, I wanted to ask you a question, Tierra, and you know, you've traveled, you know, as well. You've done a bunch of stuff as well. And so, you know, with your journey in the modeling industry, what difference do you see happening in the next few years? Like, is there anything you see different happening, or do you think it's just going to be kind of where we are now and just stagnant? Or what do you think is going to happen over the next few years?
I definitely see the industry broadening. It's, you know, variety of models, it's standards for modeling, things like that. I know with social media, there's that body positivity movement, which mm-hmm. I'm here for 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I feel like more brands are starting to cater to more people. I know, what was it, Ari had that disability campaign. So mm-hmm. they had people with disabilities and said they're not really disabilities, they're extra abilities.
Oh, I like that.
And they had that campaign with people who had, you know, what people deem problems, but they're really not. It's just other types of people.
Yeah.
I love that. I love them for it. I bought stuff just because they did it. Didn't mean anything. But I see the world kind of pushing towards that and being more inclusive. So yeah. I know there's still going to be, you know, the Victoria's Secret angels that are always going to be that size, always going to be, you know, skewed to one ethnicity, but they're even getting more diverse. But it's always still going to have that standard for their model.
Yeah.
But there's going to be new brands and new agencies and new, you know, runway shows that have all types of people. I know Miami Fashion Week, they had a show with just plus size models. I thought it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to keep growing and widening.
Yeah. No, I love that. You know, I think that the inclusion of so many different things, whether it's skin, you know, skin type, skin complexion, hair types, body size. I know Sports Illustrated had like a woman, I don't want to call her an amputee, but I don't know a different word for that. You know, but they had, you know, that they had mothers breastfeeding. You know, we're really in an era where things are changing, and I want to see it continuously change. I don't want the change to stop here. You know,
I agree.
We still
and
have
it's like with modeling, even though it's not a huge market because half the world doesn't even know about modeling, but it's definitely our standard for beauty, like with the beauty industry.
Yeah.
Modeling is at the forefront, acting is at the forefront. Like, so those things are changing in a positive direction. If they keep changing, new, you know, generations and younger kids growing up will see everyone being included, and it'll literally over time change our standard of beauty for everyone. And I think that could be a really positive thing if they keep on this path.
Yeah. And I am so here for it. You know, we at some point, you know, I'm going to pop out children or adopt some children. And, you know, I want these kids to have a confidence about themselves that is like instilled not just by their parents, but by the environment. I want them to look at magazines and billboards and different ads and see a variety of, you know, models that look, you know, different from each other and, you know, that are still considered beautiful. I'm really here for that, because we've had this European standard of beauty for quite some time. You know, that's been changing. And, you know, like you said, plus size women are now including, you know, Black women and, you know, Indian women, Polynesian women. I'm starting to see more, but we definitely got to push it harder, because there's not enough. And I definitely want the change to keep coming. I don't want it to be this minute, you know, minuscule change. I would really love to see like a big, like, bomb go off in the industry and you see just like a like an explosion of just diversity across the board. So,
and I agree with that. I know they're always saying representation matters, and you'll see like on Instagram a picture of a little girl copying, you know, a young Indian woman that's famous, and she thought it looked like her, so she wore the same outfit, wore the same hair. Like, mm-hmm. It's just that they have that positive representation of themselves in the community or in, you know, television, and especially with acting, because I know back in the day it used to just be all white cast on most shows. Then they started adding the token black person. Then they have the token Asian. Now they have full Asian cast on a show, mm-hmm. or a full black cast on a show. Like, these things are coming to the forefront more and more, and they just need to continue because it's still not, you know, even a representative of our culture, the U.S. It's skewed really far to the left, but it's definitely growing in the right direction. Yeah. I just think they need to push it even harder. And for the haters that would be like, oh, why do you only cast black people? Or why do you only cast Indian people or Hispanic people? Or same thing with photographers. Why do you only shoot black men? Like, they need that in this market right now. That's why. Mm-hmm. Because it's been white for so long. And nothing's wrong with that. I love y'all. Y'all my people too. But they need to be inclusive of everyone that's here. It's a melting pot. So it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But it can be done.
Yep, 100%. And, you know, I'm all about unity. You know, I'm always pro, you know, love. I just think you make a great point, because you and I, you know, we've been in competitions together where we're, you know, the only two women of color competing for something. And we honestly didn't, or back then, I don't want to say don't, but then we didn't stand a chance because there was no inclusion. You know, there was this consistent, exactly. Like, this is what we want. This is what we like. This is beautiful. You know, and it was hard. You know, when we first met, like, it was really hard on our self-esteem and, you know, being able to. Being able to.
And I was. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I thought you was bad at little thing in there. I was like, oh, snap, another black girl. Like, it was rare, because doing things like that, I don't ever see another black person. I'm the token. Or, like, I don't hear it. You might be the token. It's just you. Mm-hmm. And everyone else would be their white. That's about it.
Yeah.
And when I saw you, I was like, oh, snap, got another black girl. So, in my head, even though it shouldn't have been, I thought you were my competition. I have to beat the other black girl, because it's usually just me.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the white girl that wasn't even about to beat. So it's definitely a mindset I shouldn't have had, but then it just because it was so different. It was like, oh, okay, there's two of us. Only one of us gonna get it if either of us get it.
Yep.
And that time neither of us did, which is crazy.
I know.
Well, did you guys? I don't remember.
No, I don't. I honestly don't think I placed. I remember specifically I wore a black bikini, and they were talking about how black did not compliment my skin tone. Therefore, I didn't place because I didn't stand out. But I'm black in a competition, you know, but we won't we won't dive into that, because that organization is a conversation of its own.
People.
That conversation is it's a different one. But
that's
a completely different new podcast. But I will say that, you know, me and you met, and we, you know, have been on the same wavelength. You know, we're not always in the same city, but for some reason we've kept a very like good foundation as far as like friendship and understanding the industry and just kind of being there for one another. And, you know, that's kind of what happens when you're, you know, one of two, you know, and a sea of, you know, many. And I try not to use colors, but you get what I'm saying.
Girl, I be talking about all the colors. I love the rainbow. Talk about all y'all. We look
legitimately.
No, I am really glad that we kept up and glad we formed a friendship on that, because it could have went the opposite direction. So
yeah, completely.
Very, very fortunate.
That's very true. Okay, so I want to let you know that maybe. Because you're just a little staticky, but that's okay. It's fine.
I'm not sure why. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But I know it's getting late, and I have one just final question for you before I let you kind of tap out. Can I have one more question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was curious as to like what negative impacts you've seen on a model's like mental health from being in the industry. Like, what negative, you know, or just not good results have you seen from a model just trying to be in this industry?
Well, I can speak either in general or about my own successes and failures. So I'll speak on both. But with myself, I literally just posted something today on Instagram, and it was a picture from college. And I was like, oh, college days. Back when I had abs, I was super skinny. I was the tallest thing since sliced bread, and I thought I was fat. Mm. Like, that's not because of, you know, just social media or, you know, the community. It's because I was modeling. Mm-hmm. I was never small enough. I was fine at one point, but I was never small enough to be signed to, like, a big agency. I was never skinny enough. My hips were always too big. So it just kind of took a toll on me, like, mentally thinking I was, you know, not good enough, or I mm-hmm. wasn't pretty enough, or wasn't exotic enough. And it kind of just lets you feel like you're not enough. And this is a really hard industry. It tells you, you know, you need to have thick skin, tough skin. And I feel like I do. I'm one of the toughest people I know. But it does chip away at you, and it chips away at your confidence. Luckily, I found it was like 1,000 on my confidence, but it does chip away on it. And it just kind of makes you feel like, oh, well, the girl with the blonde hair and bigger boobs, smaller butt, like, she got it because she looked that way. So it just makes you compare yourself to others, mm-hmm. which, you know, we're taught now not to do. So it negatively impacted me that way, just making me feel like I wasn't enough. But in general, I know you get told no literally 89% of the time before you get your first yet.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of no's, a little yes. And with that, I feel like it just kind of negatively impacts people's confidence
mm-hmm.
or self-esteem or their image of beauty or what they were taught. It kind of feels like their lies, because I know as a young person, my mom was like, you're beautiful, you are enough, you know, mm-hmm. you're beautiful, you're it. But then you go into the modeling industry and they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You're fat, you got cellulite, the legs are too thick, your thighs shouldn't touch. Like, they kind of take away at your confidence.
Yeah.
Everything you were taught growing up. So it's just hard in that sense.
Yeah, I know. That's very true. But you do have thick skin. Like you said, you're one of the toughest people I know. And you have to... No, girls, you're my toughest friend. But, you know, for the girls that are listening, you definitely cannot have, you know... You can be whatever you want to be, but you have to be prepared for what you're getting into. This industry is very tough. It's very cutthroat. It's not the nicest. You know, it can be intense, you know, especially when it gets down to, like... I lost Tierra. Especially when it gets to... signing with an agency or going to castings or, you know, any of that jazz. But you have to really, really be prepared, and you have to keep going if this is the kind of thing that you want. So I'm super happy that she said that, and I lost her for some reason, maybe just a disconnection, but I'm going to kind of bring her back on, and she's back. And so, Tierra, before I let you go, I just wanted to see if you had any final, you know, statements or comments, any last things you wanted to say to the listeners?
Listeners, you all are smart people for listening to Aubrey Ebony. She's amazing and a really good friend, a really good mentor, and someone who knows a lot about the industry. My only advice is to know your worth before you get into the industry. Be confident in yourself, because you are beautiful, you are enough, you're perfect. Somebody is going to see that value in you, so never give up. And if you do want to model or act, literally just do your research, please. Because there's so many scam artists out there, so many so-called agencies. It's just, I've been through the ringer with that. So, you know, definitely research and connect with people like Aubrey or people that you know are successful in the industry that you trust and that would give you that good advice.
That's awesome.
That's all I got.
No, that was perfect. I think that was more than amazing. All right, T. Well, I will make sure that everybody knows your Instagram and, you know, what pages to follow you on. Do you want to say that real quick before you head out?
Sure. So I have 898 Instagram. So I'm only going to give you two. But my main page is Tierra Bree the Model. That's Tierra, TIARABREE, the Model. And that's the page I post most of my modeling and acting work on. And then if you just happen to like cosplay or dressing up or art, I also have Tierra Bree Cosplay. So it's TIARABREE Cosplay. Aside from that, I don't really use much else.
Okay. Well, perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I more than appreciate you. Again, you know, you're going to hear a little bit of static when you play this back, but I think the information you gave was valuable. It was incomparable to someone who, you know, has not had this experience. And I think that it's going to be, you know, great advice to the people that are listening. It's great advice to people who have heard this, but kind of need a refresher. So thank you so much for all the information you gave today.
And thank you so much for thinking about me. I appreciate the combo.
Oh, you're great. All right. Well, I will talk to you soon, and thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Tierra's great. Seriously, she's great. And, you know, everybody I have on my podcast is a great guest. And again, sorry for the static and sorry for, you know, the break in some of the words. We must have had a bad signal. So thank you if you stuck through that. But what she was saying was extremely true, extremely, you know, valuable. And she lived through it. You know, she lived through the Barbizon. She lived through the John Casablanca type schools. And so you just want to be aware. You want to do your research. Please do not get stuck in a school that is supposed to teach you something that you can learn. Heck, I do classes, you know, via Skype, via FaceTime, but that's also something you can learn on YouTube. You can learn, you know, through hashtags. You could just practice in a mirror. You know, if you don't have the means to invest in a $5,000, $3,000 school to teach you something that you don't have to spend that type of money on, don't do that. You can invest that type of money into something great. Invest that money into, like Tierra said, you know, building your portfolio. Invest that money into something you really want. You know, I am always here for support. People DM me all the time. I have my text-free number attached to my my model counselor Instagram. You can shoot me a text. If I don't get back to you right away, I will get back to you. I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to achieve. And just keep in mind that there are different avenues. If you happen to not be able to sign with an agency, I listed on my The Model Counselor Instagram different ways of kind of, you know, expressing yourself as a model, whether that's promotional modeling or being a trade show model, whether that's an ambassador, a brand ambassador, an influencer. You know, there's so many different things that you can do to really make yourself stand out, you know, in the industry, and then use that platform going forward to sign with an agency as an influencer or a brand ambassador. There are promotional modeling agencies. There's so much out there, you know, so if you're not able to sign with a Wilhelmina or Ford or LA Models or, you know, MC Square or all the other like high-end agencies out there. Keep in mind that there are so many other agencies and so many other types of models that are out there. So do not give up. You know, it's tough. This industry can definitely make you feel like you are not enough. This industry has made me cry. I've cried. I've gotten angry. I've gotten upset. I've been jealous. These are things that you know, experience throughout this journey, and it's tough. It is tough, but I keep powering through because I believe in myself. You know, I have, you know, people that root for me for sure, but like I am my main motivator. I have to keep myself going. I see a bigger picture. I have to keep doing this because if I stop, nobody's going to push for me. You know, if I'm not pushing for myself, who's going to push for me? And, you know, you have to think about that. You know, you are definitely enough. This industry will tell you you're not tall enough. This industry will tell you we don't like that, you know, that scar. This industry will tell you your hair is not long enough. It's too big. It's too short. It's too kinky. It's too curly. We don't like this. We don't like that. We don't like, you know, there's so much they're going to tell you. You will think that you have this audition nailed in the bag and you don't get it. And that is okay. That is okay. You just have to keep pushing, keep going, and remembering that this is not the end all. This one opportunity is not the end all. There are so many more opportunities. Like Tierra said, there are more brands that are going to come about. There's going to be new agencies. Things are going to change. So just be patient. Hold on. Don't give up. Be smart and do your research, okay? Your research is key. You know, 99 Talent, when I went, was not what I thought it was going to be. It was another pay for headshots and, you know, this is how you learn to model. This is how you do this. This is how you know, you don't need that. Look for genuine agencies. Please look at reviews. You know, if you walk into a casting and it's not a formal open call like Click Models of Atlanta, or it's not an open call like, I don't even know if some of the Miami agencies have open calls. A lot of the agencies here in Florida take, you know, online submissions. If it's nothing like that, if it seems fishy, if it seems odd, look into it. Think about it, do your research, and stay safe. All right? Again, this is episode 4. This is the Model Counselor Podcast. I'm your host, Aubrey Ebony, and thank you so much for listening. Until next time.